Welcome back. In this new segment we have started as of last week, and that will probably be the entire show next week, because I think I'm on from 5 to 5:30 or 5:36 or 5:30, half hour. I know a great deal about Marshall Field and Company, as some stores used to be known in Chicago, and so it sort of was an arrow in my side when I read the news that Macy's will be departing from Water Tower Place. That's going to cause a real ripple effect throughout the neighborhood. You know, the Gap is closing. A number of other stores have closed. A great deal of it has to do with people shopping over the internet, but a great deal of it has to do with the frightening looting that took place. I live right in that neighborhood, so it was really scary. So I decided to reread a book of my father's. It was a book that he wrote, history of Marshall Field and Company, in 1952. He wrote it with his friend and his frequent collaborator, Lloyd Wendt. So my earliest years, that's when I was born, I knew all about Marshall Field. I knew everything about Marshall Field, especially the main store downtown. And so did Betty Yore, Lloyd Wendt's daughter. And so when Don Barlant, the co-owner, president of more than five decades of Barbara's Books, came to us in late last year, in 1919, about the possibility of reprinting copies, we said, yeah, go ahead, of course. We were thrilled. We love all the Wendt Cogan books, Lords of the Levee, Bathhouse John Coughlin, Michael Hinkey Dean Kenna, Bet a Million Gates, Big Bill of Chicago. These are the books of my youth and the stories of my youth. Interestingly, Don Barland has his memories, too. He was born and raised on the west side of the city. He can finally recall, quote, toy displays, walnut room lunches during the Christmas holidays, and the book department. It was where he saw and listened to famous authors, quote, who entertained throngs of men in suits and women in hats and gloves. There is no question that Marshall Field and Company got under everybody's skin. The book department moved from its huge, huge third-floor space that it had, and was downsized in various stores. And then Don, in early 2000s, asked if he could take over what was then a tiny lower-level bookshop that opened in 2003 as Barbara's. And it's recently expanded, and it will, Don says, and hopes, allow us, after decades of absence, to bring noted authors to Chicago State Street. That certainly didn't happen this year. They were supposed to have Phil Donahue and Marlo Thomas, and that certainly would have packed the joint. Yes, Marshall Fields is not Marshall Fields anymore, and Macy's purchased the Field store and moved in 2006, and I never got the incredible outrage of all that in that. You know, it wasn't as if the store had been turned into a discount grocery store or something. They still, at a site called fieldsfanschicago.org, people still complain about it. But Macy's, to my mind, was keenly aware and respectful of the store's history. It maintained many of the store's architectural charms, provided guided tours of the building, especially the main building downtown, and uphold some of the store's grand traditions, especially around the holidays. The Walnut Room was closed during the holidays, but we got food to go. And I think anybody who remembers Marshall Field's and how nice Macy's has been to keep it up, except that Water Tower Place store, I don't know how many floors they have there. It's a lot. 5, 6, 7, something like that. You can go and buy, give the lady what she wants. It's the definitive history of that store up until 1952, when it was published. It was written by my father, Herman Cogan, and his good buddy and frequent collaborator, Lloyd Wendt. So there is your book for the week, Give the Lady What She Wants. That was kind of the slogan of Marshall Field and Company. As for a song, you need a song of the week, too. She's been a guest on this show a couple times, not frequently enough, because Josie Falbo, a child of Taylor Street, has not produced as many songs or CDs as one would hope. She's done a lot of commercial work. She has two CDs. The latest is the title track of You Must Believe in Spring. She's a lovely person and a great, great singer. And so, here she is.
Come and go. think you know. You can't be certain of. You must believe in spring and love.
There's no telling what this week will bring, but I hope you have a relatively restful and happy week. That was Josie Falbo. You can get her CD by going to Josie, JOSIEFALBO.net. Also on the show was author, give me websites now, author Rich Cohen, COHEN.com. Also Google King Boulevard Block Party, and you'll find your way to an event to celebrate this very interesting movie that Earl Hardy, young man, is putting together. If you have a check that's empty and you have a lot of money in your bank, send it to him, because I think it'll be a spectacular film. You can go to YouTube and Google that same thing. Google around for King Boulevard Block Party movie, whatever. And you'll find 15 really good, interesting, creative, clever 15 minutes of film. It's a drama, kind of interesting way to go. And then Jeff Cohen's book, Jeff Cohen, C-O-E-N, is titled Murder in Canaryville, The True Story Behind a Cold Case and a Chicago Cover-Up. It is rich with somewhat sordid, dark history of this city we call home, but also features some real heroes, a guy named Jim Sherlock, what an investigator who took on this cold case. I will see you for a half hour next Sunday, before or after the Hawks game, who knows, before the Hawks game. Have a safe week. Thanks for not watching the Bears game.